get us going. So I always start my groups with check-ins and celebrations. This is Diane, and it is Thursday, the 11th of May. I'm with a 3 o'clock group, and I'm glad you guys have me as a guest today. I'm excited to be here. Who wants to start us out with check-ins and celebrations?
I can go. This is Maya. So I have a celebration. My son is admitted to private school, and he's going, and it's something that we've kind of been working on all year, getting his buy-in and actually getting him accepted. So he's had a really tough year in a huge public school that wasn't giving him the support. So that's hopefully we're in a good place now moving forward.
That's awesome. I know it's been a lot of work for you guys and for him particularly. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does he feel about it?
Well, I mean, that's something I wanted to talk about today. It's just he did agree, but still, like, you know, getting his buy-in and, you know, the whole negotiation we had to get his buy-in, I feel like we really gave him a lot because it was very important. So sometimes I feel like when you try and get his buy-in, you know, maybe you, you know, give away too much. So anyway, but he's going, and so it all worked out.
Okay, well, then I'll when I loop back around, it sounds like that might be something you want to take aim on. Cool. Julie, I see you just joined us. Hi, it's Diane. I'm glad to be here with you guys today.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. We're just doing check-ins. There's about five of you on so far. Who wants to go next?
Okay. I'll go ahead. This is Julie.
Perfect. Thanks.
I don't have too much to report, but, well, some lack of sleep for my son, so I would like to work on that, I think, today. Celebrations, we started doing something that Jeremy talked about on the call 2 weeks ago, and it was three different questions that they ask at their family table at dinner, and we haven't done it every night, but we've done it a lot of nights, and it's been pleasant, and everybody kind of is starting to look forward to it. So, and one of the questions is, how did you fail today? Which seems odd, but it's been, it's brought some good conversations. So that's my check-in.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Who else?
This is Lori. I can go. The celebration was, it's been pretty calm around here because there hasn't been a lot of homework, but my daughter had stumbled and forgot her science homework, and rather than for me to say, let's get in the car and run to school, we talked about what tools she can put in place so she wouldn't forget homework because she doesn't use the planner. So it was kind of, without me being so reactive, sitting down and having her come up, me biting my tongue until she comes up with some things that might work, and so that's a celebration that I remain cool when she came up with some ideas, and we'll see.
That's great. I know biting your tongue is not the easiest thing on the planet, Lori, so congratulations for doing that. It's hard to do when you've been jumping in with ideas. What? How has she started using the new tool yet, or is it still in the
works? Today is the day, so I think maybe as we go, maybe I wanted to take aim as to figure out, because as she gets into high school next year, you know, executive functioning, she's got to buy into the importance of She just thinks that she'll remember things, but she's just unable to. So I have to, you know, so we can talk about that in the conversation.
Okay, cool. Amy.
Hi. First of all, I don't know if you guys can hear the background noise. They're chainsawing in the next door neighbor's yard. So let me know, and I'll try and keep it on mute, but I apologize. So, huge celebration this week, and oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? My son something was going on, and we were kind of trying to work through some stuff, and he finally shared with me what was going on, that he and his girlfriend are having sex. So that's a first, both of them. And she was worried she was pregnant. So that really explained his stress level.
Yeah.
And the celebration part of it is that for all the things that I feel like I've failed as a mother, when I've worked, like my priority has been building a trust relationship with him over the years, and when it really mattered, he came to me, and that feels really good. So, and we were able to talk and figure out what he needs, what she needs, and somehow I was able to just stay calm and just talk with him, listen to him. And so anyhow, that's
wow. Amy, my heart is just like pounding listening to you talk. Your instinct is right, that it's like you spent all this time trying to build this trust, and when push came to shove and that moment came where you knew that you wanted him to be able to trust you, it happened. And
yeah,
you know, the door was opened and you guys were able to problem solve together. And what a gift that you've been working on that. And it's been hard for you. I know it hasn't been the easiest thing in the world to focus on that. But wow.
It's,
congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. It's just kind of, I knew this day would come, I guess. you know, obviously. But yeah, so anyhow. And in all honesty, I think she was like 2 days late with her period and she's freaking out because this is her first period since they had sex, even though they used condoms. So, there was no convincing him. So we'll see. Hopefully she calms down and gets it.
Well, it's scary and it sounds like you want him to be a little scared.
You know, I was thinking about that it might be pretty awesome that this happened so early on. They've been dating for 6 or 7 months, but as far as their sexual relationship, maybe this is a good thing because it's a bit of a wake-up call, kind of at the beginning of all of it. So,
it doesn't hurt
to be a little respectful of the consequences or outcome, I guess. I say consequences, but outcome.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you've got that, again, it's that having the communication open and finding ways to communicate what you want to say to him in a way that he's going to hear and that he feels trusted and all that other sorts of stuff. It sounds like you're doing a brilliant job. You're my hero.
Oh, gosh. Thanks.
Awesome. Cool.
That's it.
Lisa, I don't know if I take you off of mute. If you if you can check in or not, I don't know what you said earlier. I knew you said you wanted to be on mute. If I take you off, can you talk at all, or do you need me to just keep you on mute?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Take me off just for a minute because I'm going to be now leaving my office, and that's when it's going to get noisy as I get into my car and all that stuff.
So why don't you check in and tell me how things are going?
Well, in general, things are going beautifully, and thank goodness. My son's a senior, and he has to, he has to start studying for a Regents exam, and now that lacrosse is over, he claims that he promises me that he's going to start studying more, and that's going to be, I hope he's correct. And again, I've tried to do the buy-in and stuff, but I'm not sure how successful I've been, but time will tell. And so I'm just very proud of him and happy, and he's thriving. So a lot to be grateful for.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Is there someplace specific you're going to take aim today as we're talking about the topic today?
Now, what is the topic again? I forgot.
It's non-judgment is what we're talking about today.
Non-judgment. Oh, my God. accepting him for who he is. And that many times his problem is neurological. It's not that he just doesn't give a damn. Yeah. He just can't help himself. So
is there a particular is there a particular activity or situation that it's more of a challenge for you to kind of see the neurological piece of it?
Well, number one, he doesn't talk a lot, so it's hard to understand him, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm always at a loss, especially given I'm a talker. I'm, you know, help me understand you, and I'm there. I'm number one always. And he knows I'm always there for him, but I can't understand him half the time. And one of the things he does is it's like he can only do one thing at a time. And which really worries me as I think about college. So, for example, I want to, talk to him while we're in the car, talk to him about, now remember, after school today, let's talk about what you're going to do. You know, help him with planning. And he'll say, no, I have a lacrosse game. That's the only thing I'm going to think about is my lacrosse game. And he does this in every area of his life, and I don't understand it.
It sounds like what you really want to take aim on, Lisa, is how to respond when he gets when he has a hard time communicating with you, and specifically only wants to tackle one thing at a time. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Awesome.
All right. So you can mute me. Thank you.
I will mute you again.
All right.
So let's loop back around and figure out where everybody's taking aim, if anybody needs help figuring out where they want to take aim.
This is Maya. I was just going to say I might need a little help with my taking aim because I have two. I just wrote them down. And one of them was getting myself comfortable with the idea that he's going to a new school, because now he's like, oh, my beloved high school, I can't believe it. He just, I think he's okay with going to the new school, but he's definitely feeling very anxious and sad about leaving his other high school, even though I think he knows academically the new school is better, but he's just going to miss his friends. And so that part, and then the other one, I don't know if we can take aim on two things, but it's when we get his buy-in, I listened to one of your calls, and, you know, he does very well with the carrots and not punishment, but I feel like he's kind of gaming us because he just keeps asking for more and more when we say, okay, you know, like, for instance, going to this new school, what would be, you know, something that would make you more comfortable with the idea, and so he's like, well, I want a car. You know, and he's going to be 16, and, well, he's 15 now. So we have a whole year. So we were kind of thinking of getting him a car anyway, but, you know, he's like, it has to be, you know, 10 to 12,000. It has to be this and that, and, you know, all these things that we really were not thinking of. But so we kind of did negotiate and say, well, you know, you're going to use some money from your investment account, and you're going to, you know, sell your bike and all this, and so it came out okay, you know, but he kept, and then we said, and also you have to maintain this GPA, which I thought I was really proud of that, because that's like the, you know, the gift that keeps giving, like, well, I guess he'll get his car, but I don't know, we'll have to cross that road. Anyway, the car thing was like a little bit more, or he just wanted more spent on it than we were thinking originally, but then, you know, when we thought about what he's giving up, I guess, like, looking at it from his shoes and just getting his buy-in, that's what happened.
So it sounds like you've got two things. One is kind of the what to do about his request for a car that's nicer than what you agreed to. And then the other is just kind of generally how to help get him used to the idea of this new school situation and help him through that transition. My gut says one's more immediate and one's more long lasting. So are you more about fixing the immediacy of the one, or are you more about beginning to set the stage for the longer term conversation?
Well, I guess the one that's more immediate.
Okay. So that would be, you know, what are you going to do about the request that he's making for the car? Is that really, is there an underlying question in there, which is how do I know when he's gaming the system? Or is it how do I not get taken advantage of as a mom? What's really the question under the question?
Well, so we kind of made this agreement, you know, we like wrote it down and then we signed it. That's kind of what we do so that nobody changes their mind. And so, you know, then we registered him, so he can't, you know, he can't really change his mind now. And he's just, he's okay, I think, still with going. He's happy about getting his car, but, you know, can I guess, like, when it comes when he's 16, just say, you know, this is a little more than we wanted to spend, and let's, you know, look at cars online, and hopefully he can come up with one that he likes that is more in the price range we were thinking of. Because that'll be a year, and I think he'll be happy at this school. So I can change the terms of the contract a little bit.
Okay, so I can't tell. Did you just make a decision? And so that may not be the place to say game. It sounds like you kind of went, that's what I'm going to do. So I want to just check back in.
Well, I guess I made a decision, but I just want to make sure that that's, you know, like, okay, to just say that we made this agreement, but, you know, now we're going to look at this is more than – it'll be a year later, so we'll just look at these cars. This is more in our price range.
Okay, so what specifically do you want to say to him about the agreement that you already made?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything until, you know, we get, like, into the school and see how it goes. And, you know, he's not 16 yet. That's, like, a year away.
Okay. So all right. So do you really need to – okay, so I guess I misunderstood which one was more immediate. So the thing about the car isn't for a year. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I mean, I just made the agreement. I'm just going to put it away, you know, and then we'll take it back out when he's 16. He's going to the school. And so I guess the more immediate one was getting him comfortable with the idea of going.
Okay. So how does that feel as a place to take aim? We went in the rabbit hole. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's a place to take aim.
Perfect. Okay, great. Who's next?
Well, this is Lori. I guess one of the things that I would love to kind of talk about is the one stress that's pretty constant is getting the homework done. And we've talked about this in past discussions and basically having Lily sit down and put together her own schedule. But what's happening is when I say fine, you know, 30 minutes of watching a show, when that 30 minutes comes, it just becomes longer and longer, and it just is constantly, you know, five more minutes, and it just gets so tedious. So I'm not sure what tools to use.
Yeah, so the way you described the challenge in the past, tell me if this still resonates, Lori, is when it's the transition from downtime into homework. Specifically when she's watching episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, we've moved past that. She's caught up with it.
Oh, she caught up on Grey's Anatomy, whatever it happens to be now. But specifically when she's watching TV and she needs to translate to homework. Does that feel like the right place to take aim? Feels pretty specific. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Cool. Amy or Julie?
Hey, this is Amy. So we only have a couple weeks of school left, but I would like to figure out a way to help him use in the morning. He's texting a lot, texting his girlfriend, just checking in. And he says, you know, it's just one here and there, but he's running. He's later and later, you know, for school. And then in the evening as well, it just seems like, I don't know, the texting has gotten a little, and I don't know if it's that or maybe it's more, the bigger thing might be him learning to set his own boundaries with her and kind of realize what he needs to do for himself.
So it sounds like the symptom you're seeing is that the texting feels like it's distracting him from, and it's making him late and it's making it hard for him to kind of get the stuff done that he needs to do. But
yeah.
The underlying piece of it is how do you help him figure out what – is it just texting with her or is it the phone in general? What's your instinct?
It's just texting with her, but then when I think about it, it seems like there are other areas that I've noticed. I can't name them specifically where I remember thinking he knows what he needs to do or wants to do, but he's kind of putting that secondary or in the moment he doesn't honor his own mm-hmm. needs.
Right. Well, so that was kind of the question that was popping into my head as you were talking. In the older kids group earlier in the week, we talked a lot about, you know, picking a place to take aim where they have some motivation. So what part of this challenge do you think he might be most interested in solving?
Having some, I think, control over his life, not feeling so tired and overwhelmed all the time. Those are things I've heard him talking about lately. And it seems that he's just juggling a lot of things now.
So maybe helping him set some priorities and boundaries?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah. Helping him to have control over his life, specifically by kind of highlighting what some priorities and boundaries might be. Okay. How does
yes.
that feel as a player?
That's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Julie.
Well, my son's a little younger than yours, it sounds like. He just turned 13, and we just got him a cell phone, and so that has become an issue, of course, that he stays up late on it. We take it from him at 9 o'clock at night most nights, but then the other morning he woke up early and he grabbed it off of my nightstand, things like that. So he's having a hard time sleeping, you know, because he wants to play on his phone. So I also want him to have his own boundaries and know that if he stays up late and he's tired, then he's going to make poor choices the next day. But I still feel like I need to set those boundaries for him because he just can't seem to do it on his own. So that's one area. The other area is school. He doesn't seem to care anymore. And not that he maybe ever cared, but his grades seem to be slipping. But it's the end of the school year, so do we take aim on that? I don't know.
Well, and it's hard because this time of year they do slip, and I've been watching the same thing happen at my house, and it just gets harder and harder as the days go past. So,
yeah,
you know, is it about getting clear on where you want to let go and where you want to hold fast? And these last couple weeks of school, is it about boundaries on the cell phone? Is it about sleep? I mean, you kind of got all three of them there, and I they feel like they're separate. They could be tackled separately, although they interact with each other.
I think the cell phone, since it's new for all of us, we need to figure out how it's all going to work in our house.
Okay. So getting clear on what the boundaries and the rules are around the new cell phone.
Yep.
Okay, great. Awesome. Just checking back. Everybody good? Did we get anybody? Oh, Sandy Menendez just joined us. Hi, Sandy. Are you there? Oh, maybe not. Maybe she's on. Did you have us on mute?
Hi, this is Lisa Gillette. I'm not sure. Hi, this is Lisa Gillette. So I'm not sure.
Oh.
I joined in later, like at 3:15.
Okay.
So.
Okay, great. Lisa, you want to check in and let us know where you want to take aim?
I have so many things to take aim on.
Well, can you tell that? Can I challenge you to celebrate first before you jump in on the challenges?
Let's see. Eldest son seems to be a little more engaged, but the flip side is it's kind of too late in the year. So I'm trying to take aim on. I think you were talking with someone else about how to kind of ascertain what to focus on for the rest of the year, like, you know, what to kind of where to focus energies to finish out the year as strong as possible.
Awesome. So how to prioritize.
What to let, yeah, like what to let go of and what to kind of focus on.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, Lisa. And then, Sandy, was that you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm driving, so I might be a lot of kind of background noise. Yeah, in terms of, I guess, celebration, my son has been, you know, pretty open and talkative with me, which has been great. I think that's kind of a theme that's been going for, I guess, a couple months now, so which is great. And so, you know, once you dialogue, you feel like you can, you know, get somewhere with him on some, you know, challenges, issues and whatnot. So that's good. Should I talk about what I want to take aim at?
Yes.
Similar to what was just said about the cell phone boundary issue, only this is with a 14-year-old, my daughter, but yeah, really setting some boundaries there and
is the boundaries around the cell phone as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. Awesome. And I'm excited about your celebration. It's nice. I'm sure it's nice to kind of feel like there's some engagement and some connection there for you. All right. So we are on. Do you need us? Can you mute yourself, Sandy? If you've got background noise, do you need me to mute you, or are you cool?
I'm muting, but if it's a problem, then go for it.
Okay. No, I think if you got it on your end, I just didn't know how hard it would be for you to do that. So perfect. So we are on page 52 of the workbook, talking about non-judgment. And this is such a helpful topic. It's one of the core pieces of positive parenting. And, you know, we did the Wheel of Life and Sanity School, and this is one of those places that a lot of times the judgment finger is pointing at our kids, and a lot of times the judgment finger is pointing at ourselves. And it's hard to let go of, you know, that voice in our head that says this should be this way, or this is wrong, or this needs to be fixed, and it may not be our own voice, it may be somebody else's. I know I was talking to a client earlier this week, and she was feeling a lot of judgment from her school, who was saying, you know, your child should be in a different place than they are, and was kind of stuck in that sort of naughty versus, you know, she understood the whole naughty versus neurological perspective, but the school just didn't look at it the same way, and so it was a really difficult situation to be in. So sometimes the judgment is external, sometimes it's of ourselves, and sometimes it's focused on our kids. What happens, though, I think that can be difficult is that when we judge, it often will trigger us. So it's like, this is bad, I have to fix it. And when we get into fix-it mode, we tend to shut down, and our ability to really problem solve or collaborate with our kids is less productive and less engaged. So if we can kind of just say, okay, this is my reality, this is what's going on right now, what action needs to be taken, you're going to respond very differently than if it's like, oh my gosh, I got to fix this is wrong, this is broken. And so it's about that, so there's some trigger management in this, there's some acceptance in this, there's some neutrality in this, but it's really about kind of finding ways to stay engaged and really connect to our kids, because the minute we start judging, and it tends to shut off that relationship. So I'm curious what comes up for all you guys around this topic.
Hey, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
The judgment thing. I think I just experienced that this week. But I don't know. I guess I am most judgmental on myself, not my kids. So it's kind of like my mothering is what I'm judgmental about. And I don't know how that plays into this, you know, or
well, Yeah, my guess is you're in good company. I mean, I have the same challenge. So what are some of the, you know, underlying thoughts that kind of trigger the judgment?
Just that I wish, because I have ADD as well, that I could teach him, that I had the skills to teach him. When he gets frustrated or when he wishes he could know something, or that I was a little bit more organized and caused less situations in our house. That kind of stuff, kind of just life in general. I mean, I'm getting better about it, but it seems like when there's just time, like this last week, I just had a kind of a meltdown of my own. So, yeah, I don't know. But you're right.
So
it does that broken panic sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and so I guess I'm curious, you know, just even the language that you used just now, you said, I wish that I had the skills to teach him what he needs to manage his own ADHD is what I heard you say. And so that language, which I wish I had the skills, compared to why can't I fix this? I mean, I guess, so what's the tone of the voice in your head typically? Is it I wish, or is it why don't you, or you should be, or what's really the tone?
Oh, it's, you know, I don't question it anymore because I really get why I don't have it, can't do it, whatever it is, never learned it.
Yeah.
So that question has been answered. It's the I wish I knew this. I wish I could learn this faster. I wish I could just tell him in the moment, oh, yeah, this is what we'll do, or this is what will work, or whatever it is. So
what? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's the truth of the situation?
That I am learning. And he knows I'm learning. Like, I talk about this group a bunch. So, you know, he knows that I'm learning and working on it.
So if the voice in your head said, I'm learning this stuff, I'm doing what I can to help him to get the skills he needs to be successful, how would that feel compared to, I wish I had the skills?
Yeah.
Because you're taking real action every day.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm kind of trying to keep track of when that voice in my head kind of shifts and goes to that the sky is falling place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to figure out, you know, did I remember to take my afternoon Ritalin? Did I get enough sleep? Is there extra stress going on in his life that, you know, we have a little amygdala hijack going in the house?
Right. The question, there's a shifting question that I like to encourage my clients to ask, and it's, what can I do?
Okay.
You know, what's my action right now? You know, what is there to do in this moment? Because a lot of times if we get stuck in not knowing or not feeling disempowered, which is what that I wish feels like to me, it's kind of like, okay, so what can I do? How would that shift it for you, Amy?
Sorry, I'm writing notes as we talk. I like that a lot, like a huge, because I really like very simple messages, and to just completely simplify it to what can I do right now, because that's what happens is everything becomes overwhelming. Like I can't manage everything. So the what can I do right now is a really super simple question that would probably help me focus it down. And it is also something I could model for him and teach him, just that simple question, what can I do right now?
Awesome. What's coming up for other folks about this area of judgment, either self-judgment or judgment of our kids?
Well, I think, this is Lori, I think the page that you wrote talking about being objective about your child's areas of strength and challenges, and say they're not intentionally being bad, you know, or they're just being themselves. And I think sometimes that's hard when I go into her chaotic bedroom and I'm like, oh my God, why is the macaroni cheese in your sheets? You know, I'm like, what are you, you know, and then I have to step back. It's hard to step back and not say, what's wrong with you? You know, it's
right.
Hard. It's hard to, you know, and I think also is what, you know, yes, she has ADD and some learning disabilities, but I have to, first of all, figure out what is understandable and what is, okay, she's just turned 14, you know, what is realistic given some of her challenges, but maybe not excusing it. Oh, I just, so that's my struggles to figure out.
Right. Well, and it sounds like, and a lot of us get stuck this way, Lori. It's kind of like there's some, you know, if we go back to the naughty versus neurological framework, you know, it's like our brain wants to make it both, right? Because it's like, well, yeah, but it looks, it's not logical that it could be all neurological. There has to be something in there that's just a lazy 14-year-old. And I guess my challenge to you is if you said all of it was neurological and you just went with that model, because we all do the opposite, which is we try to treat it as it's naughty, and usually it doesn't work to do it that way because we punish or we yell or we whatever else, and it doesn't change the behavior. So if you were going to go all the way to the other end of the spectrum and just say, I'm not going to judge this. This is just reality. Yep, there's macaroni and cheese in her sheets. What do we want to do about it? What does she want to do about it? What do, you know, what's the, how do I problem solve from here rather than this shouldn't be happening? What changes for you when you do that?
Totally, you just want to go and hug your child because it's like, it really kind of stinks that this is all neurological. This is what we have. And let's just, who cares if you have macaroni in your sheets? You know, we'll not put macaroni upstairs or I'll just change them. It's totally different. You know, she basically, but it's also what it does, it makes her, me look at her as being not at all responsible. So, you know, that's one extreme way to go.
Well, and so here's the thing, Lori, because the challenge is that you can, we got two ends of the spectrum. One end of the spectrum is she should be able to do all this and she can't, and I'm frustrated that she can't, right? The other end of the spectrum is she's having a hard time doing everything. And so what could she possibly do? And you don't want to throw in the towel. The question then is, which end do you start with that helps you to problem solve more?
Right. It's harder. I guess you start with it's neurological, because then you can just maybe make more smaller steps to see what's doable. And you,
right,
then you don't,
right.
Get,
you don't get what?
And you don't get frustrated because it's their smaller steps, and any improvement is, you know, so it's more likely to succeed, I think, than to say, than to start it, she should do everything, you know.
Well, and I think the other piece of it that you kind of hinted to is that if you're frustrated, you're triggered. If you're triggered, how well are you able to problem solve?
Yeah.
If you're in a place of pure compassion and understanding, and you start from there and say, okay, my daughter has a hard time remembering not to leave macaroni and cheese in her bed. How do we want to approach this? Versus,
okay. Yeah.
Why is she doing this?
Yeah, it's much calmer, totally different energy.
That's what it's about, Lori. It's not about which one is true. It's about which one gives you more energy to problem solve. Because ultimately, what we as parents need to do is to be present, to problem solve, and to help our kids to be more independent.
Right.
Other folks, what's coming up?
I'll go. This is Maya. So I'm listening to what everybody's saying, and I'm not sure I see where judgment comes into where I was taking aim, which is getting my son comfortable with the idea of going to a new school, unless maybe I'm just thinking, you know, he needs to just, you know, come around, but I do see that it's hard for him, so I don't think I have, this total blind judgment. So I don't know, where would the judgment help me?
So you don't know, say that again, you don't know where judgment helps you?
Is that what you said?
Yeah. With my issue, I'm not sure that judgment is an issue because, I mean, I can see why he's anxious. I'm not really, but he's still, you know, he's not saying he's not going to go. He's just saying, you know, oh, my beloved high school and this and that. And so I just wonder how to get him more comfortable with the idea of going to the new school. I thought maybe he could do a camp there this summer. I guess I could look into that, but I don't know if he's going to want to. I'll have to ask him.
So is there something, is there another aspect of either this situation or another situation where you feel like kind of connecting into this idea of judgment would help you?
Well, I guess it would come back to that agreement that I wrote when I was thinking that, you know, maybe we gave too much away and I was just like angry, but it's kind of like, if I listen to what you're saying, then I'm not frustrated and I'm calm and I see that, you know, we kind of all got where we needed to go. And I think, you know, I don't need to talk about the call right now and I can just wait and then we'll bring it up. And, you know, so there's, you know, the judgment is taken out and I'm calm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's consistent with what we were just talking about, how that when you can let go of the judgment, it helps you to stay in that problem-solving space. I love that. Awesome. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Lisa. I mean, this judgment thing just resonates in so many different areas, from brushing teeth to, you know, having meetings with the school about what to do for the rest of the year. And, you know, I feel like I need to take aim on handling the judgment, like, you know, just reframing it. So I think some of the language that you used, you know, just to see things in a different way is helpful to kind of remind yourself of that. But, you know, when it involves other people, I think it's harder to do that.
You know, so when other people, what do you mean?
Like the school, yeah, or maybe parents, you know, that you talk to about certain things, and maybe you just shouldn't talk to other parents. But, you know, like the school, that kind of thing.
So what do you typically do when you hear or feel judgment from outside, from someone else? What do you typically do?
Well, I think, like, the one woman was saying about you kind of judge yourself as a result. Like, am I doing all that I can? Am I doing the right things? Am I doing the wrong things? It kind of makes you doubt yourself when you're being judged in the presence of others, even though they're not living your life. So how would they know to judge?
Right.
So I think you're maybe just having the confidence that you're doing the best you can, and that's all you can do right now with the knowledge
right.
that you have, and you're still learning.
Right. So is it about remembering that in the moment? Is it about staying present while people are, you know, giving their opinion verbally? I mean, what do you think you most need in that moment where you're feeling that judgment from external?
Well, sometimes when you're trying to deal with a situation that seems kind of, you know, just too large to handle all at once, you know, you just have to take aim at one thing. So maybe, you know, try to trust your own voice and drown out the other ones. I mean, you know, because sometimes they just come up when someone's not even present. You just remember a thought that someone else had and it comes into your head. So trusting your own thoughts that you're doing the right thing, I guess.
Love that, because you're right. I mean, sometimes the voice in your head isn't really even yours. It's just something somebody said in passing, and you're attaching it as true.
Yeah, like regurgitating it somehow.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that the other side of it is that when somebody is, you know, in front of you passing judgment or sharing an opinion that's completely different than yours, it's like, how do you honor the relationship you have with that person and stand in your truth? Because I know that there's been times, even for me personally, it's like you're at book club and you're talking about your kid and, you know, that they say, well, if you just do X, Y, and Z, and you're like, yeah, I hear you. And that's just, you know, it's not the reality in my situation, but at some point they won't be able to understand. And so it's like you want to find a way to honor the relationship and say, thank you so much for your opinion. I really appreciate your trying to give me some good ideas and stand in your truth. So what comes up as I say that, Lisa?
Well, I think it's probably more the school stuff because I think that's where I have a hard time because they just, you know, they see so many kids with different profiles and our profile's kind of unique in a way, I think, from what they've seen. So it's hard to convince them that our situation is different, you know? So that's, I guess that's probably the tough situation.
Yeah. Well, and
everyone
sounds
probably
like,
thinks that you.
Say that again.
Oh no! Go ahead.
No, it's the it's that role of educator, right? And so you're in a place where you technically know more than they do, but it's very difficult. So how do you dance with that?
Well, I think what's difficult is you don't always know what is the right choice. You're just trying to work through options. You don't always know what the options are. So you don't feel confident when you're talking because you don't really know what all the options are, for example, for your child. So I think you come from a place of you know your child, but you don't really know the system, and you're still learning that. So you come from a place of a disadvantage in terms of how your child works in the system. So I think that's where I lose a little confidence because I don't really know that, you know, the ins and outs completely yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that that's the dance, right? And so part of it is just kind of being aware of how you're responding and reacting and what do you want to most remember when you get into those situations?
Well, I guess, you know, whatever's, you know, the best to fit the child's needs, you know, that's at where they're at right now, not where you think they should be at. And that's kind of where you need to keep your focus. And that kind of removes the judgment and that makes it more focused on the neurological. And, you know, not trying to think that they should be compared with their peers, for example, you know, their neurotypical peers. So maybe just stay with that, I guess.
Well, how does that feel? I know it's still an evolution, but does that feel like a place to stand?
Yeah, I mean, you know where the dance is also like you feel like you're making excuses for your child, but you're actually trying to advocate for them. So that becomes a little complicated too. So, you know. That's a whole other conversation, though, I think. It's not really staying on topic.
Well, I think that that's so what you're describing is the dance, right? And so I think that that's the piece of it is if we understand that there's all these hats we wear, is that when do we educate? When do we advocate? When do we understand, agree to disagree? When do we, you know, all of these things? And I think that that's the piece of it. The more conscious we are and the more aware we are of our truth, for most of us, that's what empowers us to do what we need to do in the moment. To be most effective. How does that feel?
Feels good.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Any parting thoughts on judgment before we do our wrap up?
Yeah, I'll say something. I was just listening. I think, at least for me, this is my most of my judgment, I think, is internal when I was listening to what you were saying because I know my kids pretty well, and I feel, like, confident that I know them, so I never listen when people, like, you know, give me a comment in book club or something, because their kids don't have ADD, and their kids always seem to be better behaved, so, you know, I think most of my issues are my internal judgment, And I think I get really frustrated. And I think today I learned if I just, like, make these contracts with my son, or, you know, he'll just argue until, you know, the sun goes down. Just make these contracts and then, you know, just don't get triggered, and then just come back to them. And then when we're in a more calm place, you know, I shouldn't, I guess, have the judgment that I'm giving away the farm so much, because I can come back and, you know, we could just say, well, this doesn't really make sense, and we can kind of, you know, just fine-tune it, but at least we're going towards, you know, making the decision. And that's always been an issue with him. It's like getting his buy-in, because he just says no, you know, whenever he doesn't want to do something.
So how would this help you handle that situation differently?
Oh, it would just, well, you know, like, this is just what we do in our family, because we write contracts. Because he changes his mind, and he'll say, I never said that, so I have to write a contract, and I have to type it so he doesn't, like, rip it up and throw it in the toilet. So how this would help me is, like, a lot of times I get really frustrated, like, with the car, and I just say, you know, later, like, oh, my gosh, what did I just say? Like, I'll say anything, you know, to get his buy-in, and I feel like he knows that. So, you know, he's got, like, the stranglehold on me. But if I just, you know, kind of come up with my contract and then just try and stay calm and just don't judge myself, that's what I'm always thinking, like, why did I do that? Why did I agree to that? Come back, you know, like, in an hour or two when I'm calm, and then, you know, don't have this judgment that I gave everything away and that he was, you know, just being a jerk, you know, because then you've got all that emotion. So when it calms down, then you just take the judgment out of it and you just say, okay, well, we got this far and now we're just going to finish up this agreement, because at least in my situation, getting him to go to the school was like a 7-month process. So if I just take, you know, all the judgment out of it, then it's, you know, and be calm, then we got where we wanted to go, and I can still do some of the fine-tuning, like I said.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering, I'm going to wrap up, but this is just, can I plant a seed for you?
Did you plant a seed?
Can I plant a seed with you? like give you an idea for the future. So I'm wondering, you know, so it sounds like what you're saying is that if I let go of the judgment after I do it, you know, how would it help? And so I guess the question is, if you can take a few steps backwards and say, what can I do to avoid the trigger in the first place and not judge the situation so I don't get triggered and then give away more than I want to and then have to backtrack, you know, how does it change it to be more proactive rather than reactive is kind of the seed I want to plant with you. Does that resonate?
Yes, it does.
Cool. Awesome. All right, so we're going to wrap
Diane,
up.
Can I? Diane?
Please. Sandy, is that you? Hello? Oh, did we lose her? I think we lost her. I wonder if she hit the wrong button when she's trying to unmute. Let's go ahead and answer our questions on page 53, and she'll pop, if she pops back in, we'll let her talk a little bit. So, four questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, jot down a few notes, and I would love to hear at least an aha and an action item. And Sandy, I see you're back. Did you hit the wrong button when you tried to unmute yourself?
No, I was standing still and I got completely disconnected. That's the second time that's happened.
Oh, no. Sorry about that. So what were you going to add something? Go ahead. Sandy? Oh, she's just gone again. Shoot, I think she must be in a bad spot. So whenever anybody's ready to do their wrap-up, we'd love to hear some ahas and some action plans.
Well, this is Lori. I think that someone on the call said something about letting go of judgment, you know, so you can stay in the problem-solving place. I think that's really, that goes a lot with the looking at neurological versus one might be considered someone who doesn't have any neurological challenges. So that's what I'm going to just try to do, is try to remind myself, okay, the situation is different with her, and let's just kind of go
So little incremental steps, so and not get stressed out from right away that she's not being naughty. So I just kind of don't judge it. Just start looking together for a problem, solving a problem.
Love that. Great. Thanks, Lori. Who else?
Hey, this is Amy.
Go for it, Amy.
I think the biggest thing was what you said about the I wish kind of equaling disempowerment. I really like that. And the question, too. So what can I do right now? It's pretty good.
So what do you want to commit to focusing on for yourself?
I think the what can I do right now, I'll work on that and work on teaching that to my son as well. What can I do right now and maybe what do I really need to do right now? Like what's the immediate?
Yeah, there's another version of that, which is what does my child need right now?
Yeah, okay. Cool.
So all of those feel like you're moving from action, from stuck to action. I love that.
Yeah, good.
Who else?
This is Julie.
You're thinking about the internal and the external judgment. I think I need to trust myself, trust that I know my kid, that I know how to handle the moment, and that it's okay, even if I make a mistake, it's okay. But I think I just need to trust myself more.
Cool. What would that look like?
Well, I would just, I think, being more confident in my discipline or in my communications with Logan. Like, this is what's happening, and that's it. It's not up for discussion and negotiation.
Cool. Awesome. Who else?
This is Maya. I would just say my aha is just, when I get frustrated and triggered, then just, kind of step away, like you were saying, stay calm, don't be judgmental, and then you'll have more energy to problem solve. So that was a good takeaway. And I guess the realistic action would be listen to what the child wants and explain to him, kind of, I don't know if that works, though, really, explaining to him, because then there's just more arguing. I guess trying to figure out how to be more proactive, although I'm kind of scratching my head on what to do for that. But I understand not to be reactive.
Yeah, well, so it sounds like, and it's probably a conversation for another time, Maya, is kind of how do you stay in collaborative mode with him around solving a problem as opposed to figuring out what you should do. Does that make sense?
Well, I know there's not like anything you should do. You kind of have to problem solve together.
Right, exactly. And so not kind of letting yourself a little bit off the hook for fixing it or solving it and figuring out how to collaborate with him to work together to come up with a solution.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
Okay. Cool. Who else? Okay, two Lisas left, and Sandy, I guess you're back.
Yeah, sorry. I like what you had said just a little while ago saying about the what does my child need right now? I think that might help from escalating something or just trying to understand why they raised their voice or trying to de-escalate any potential situation.
Yep. What do you need to do to make sure you to help you remember that?
I guess just going back to another theme, but it's just stay curious, I guess. Try to be non-judgmental and then, you know, rather than react, just, you know, keep it objective and then, to your point, keep it in problem-solving mode so you get curious. And, yeah.
Great. Love that. Cool. All right, we're about at time, but I don't think I've heard from either Lisa. So, Lisa G, you there?
Well, I think I'm, you know, going with the theme, I got to just stay focused on the moment and not judgmental or reactive. And I think the way to remember that is just focus on problem solving. I think that resonates with me. Just that is more of a collaborative, non-judgmental kind of state of mind. So kind of focus on problem solving and collaborating.
Awesome.
And that keeps
awesome.
You out of judgment.
Love that. Okay. Any last comments before we make it a wrap?
A quick question. If it's a spouse that might be more judgmental, is there any, like, suggestion you might have there?
Well, I think it's the same sort of it's the same sort of conversation that you had, that we had with the school. You know, it's kind of like, what's my job? And, how, you know, it's like, am I advocating? Am I educating? Am I being present so that person can share their opinion and thanking them for their opinion? Am I, you know, what hat do I want to wear? And I think that that's the piece of it, is to know that you have several options and figure out which one makes the most sense is kind of what's coming up for me. How does that resonate?
Yeah, just so whatever your spouse might be saying, you still keep in that
mm-hmm.
objective mode to try to hear it.
Yeah.
Differently.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know about you, but I know a lot of times with my former husband, I would judge his judgment. And so then we'd both be judging. And then it was kind of like, and then I'm not problem solving. And what I really need to do is just, if I don't judge that he's judging, then I can stay in problem solving, which is, okay, I've got someone who's in a strong place of judgment. What is the situation most need? What does my child most need? You know, that sort of thing. So, again, it's that kind of, if we avoid our own judgments, then we can stay out of trigger mode and we can continue to problem solve. So, great conversation today, everyone. Thanks for letting me join your group. It's always fun. It's a good vital group, and I love being here. And so there's a, next week there's a Lifeline call. The week after that, we're with PSS again. And thanks for being here today.
Great. Thanks, Diane. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks.